Hey, gang, always remember, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
Network. In New York, at a news conference today, Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said his country's nuclear program is peaceful. He added, quote, "We do not need a bomb," end quote. In Baghdad today, U.S. General George Casey told the Associated Press that the conflict in Iraq is becoming an internal struggle for political and economic power. It is making a transition away from a fight against the coalition forces. The Iraqi Defense Ministry says insurgents are using a new tactic in suicide car bombs. Instead of volunteers, insurgents are kidnapping people, then rigging their vehicles with explosives and blowing them up remotely. Quality News Network. The United States may seek strict sanctions against North Korea, according to the U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., John Bolton, in response to North Korea's nuclear tests. The U.S. may also ask for international inspections of all cargo entering and leaving North Korea as a way to check for weapons, as well as a trade ban on military and luxury items. At the United Nations today, the Security Council met, and in just 30 minutes, the 15-nation council issued a unanimous resolution and condemned North Korea. Next, the members will discuss the appropriate measures to take. North Korea, on the other hand, says the U.N. should be offering congratulations for the success of its researchers and scientists. In Washington, a bipartisan commission, which is assessing the Iraq strategy for the Bush administration, is expected to recommend a departure from the president's stay the course. Former Secretary of State James Baker is the co-chairman of the Iraq Study Group. South of Baghdad Sunday, up to 400 Iraqi policemen were poisoned after eating a meal at a base. The severe food poisoning is under investigation, and several workers at the mess hall are under arrest. In Baghdad today, the brother of Iraq's vice president, a Sunni, was assassinated by gunmen. 13 other people were killed after a car bomb went off at a busy Baghdad marketplace. 46 were wounded. In Sadr City today, 11 Iraqi soldiers were kidnapped at a checkpoint in what is described as a brazen attack. In Baghdad, the genocide trial of Saddam Hussein resumed today. His defense attorneys are continuing to boycott the proceedings in protest over the replacement of the original judge. In Afghanistan, NATO's top military commander is renewing his plea for more troops. This weekend marked the fifth anniversary of the U.S.-led war that toppled the Taliban from power. The Washington Post reports that another congressman, Arizona's Jim Colby, knew about former Congressman Mark Foley's inappropriate emails with congressional pages as far back as the year 2000 and confronted Foley about them back then. In Moscow, a $1 million reward is being offered to catch the killer of a Russian journalist. The newspaper reporter was a critic of Vladimir Putin and had exposed human rights abuses and corruption. Time magazine reports that Cuban President Fidel Castro is dying of cancer and unlikely to ever resume power. His brother, Raul, denies those reports. And in London today, for the first time, the leader of the North Ireland's largest Protestant political party met with the head of the province's Roman Catholic Church for formal talks. You are listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
An American has won the Nobel Prize for Economics. The Columbia University professor explained the trade-offs between inflation and how it affects unemployment. He is the sixth American to be awarded the Nobel Prize so far this year. Another recall from California's Salinas Valley, this time for leafy lettuce greens packaged under the Foxy brand. The lettuce was available between October 3rd and 6th in 7 western states. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan commented on the recent downturn in the housing market. He said that, quote, the worst may well be over. The chief executive of Airbus resigned today just 3 months after he took the job. Airbus has announced a 2-year delay of its A380 Super Jumbo jet. Toyota says it is delaying the launch of its new Corolla in North America from next year to 2008 in order to maintain quality. YouTube, the popular video sharing website, has struck deals with CBS and 2 major music labels. The site is trying to avoid copyright infringement lawsuits. Meanwhile, the Wall Street Journal reports that Google, which was in talks Friday to buy YouTube for $1.6 billion, may make an announcement about the purchase as soon as this afternoon. Light sweet crude settled at $61.49 a barrel today, and near the close of Wall Street, the Dow is up 7 points, the Nasdaq is up 12 points, the S&P 500 is up 1 point. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramov. The time is now 5 minutes past the hour.
Roll up your sleeves and put on your gloves, because the work is just beginning.
Monday warrior, me. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride. Though his mind is not for him, so put him down to there again. If he's ever quiet, it's the best, writing out the day's events.
That's right, it's time to turn the conversation to taking back America. From the crusaders who have drained our treasury, created needless wars, and expect the working people to pay for their billionaires' games, it's time for the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Brought to you by the West Virginia Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They are building the American dream each and every day. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And now, your host, Bruce Birch.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Glad to be back with you again today. It's Monday, October the 9th. A bunch of stuff's been going on. Yes, I'm live today. I wasn't last week. I was dealing with some other issues that I had to attend to. So, but I'm back here with you live today and glad to be back with you. It is, again, the 9th of October, and it's about 7 minutes past the hour here on the east coast of the United States, where I am located. Today's topic, what's today's topic? Well, you know what? Today's topic is Freedom Monday. That's right. All of you folks who like to call in and talk with me and weren't able to last week, you have the opportunity to do so today. Topic of your choosing. So basically, I'm going to run down some of the top news stories and take your phone calls. So get in on the horn if you want to do that. 1-877-443-2366 is the number, as you know very well. Well, you know, a lot of stuff's been going on since I was on the air last week, not the least of which is this whole, you know, I talked about Foley a little bit. Well, apparently now it's, you know, by it, the news cycle in Washington, right, runs about 60 cycles per second, kind of like most motors. Now I'm reading a poll from CNN.com that says that a majority, 75% of those polled, say the GOP, the greedy oil party, mishandled the Mark Foley matter, and 52% think House Speaker Dennis Hastert should resign. Well, I can only tell you that from my point of view, that's good news. That's fantastic news. The American people are waking up and seeing the chicanery and the negativity of the greedy oil party, and they're wanting to boot them out. It's a shame, though, that it had to come to this for that to happen. A majority of Americans believe the scandal over former U.S. Representative Mark Foley's contacts with teenage congressional pages should cost House Speaker Dennis Hastert his leadership post, according to a CNN poll released Monday. The poll, that's today. The poll conducted Friday through Sunday by Opinion Research Corporation found that 52% of the 1,028 adults interviewed think Hastert should step aside. 31% said they think he should keep his post, and 17% had no opinion. Let's talk about the no opinion people for a moment. Who are these people, and why don't they have an opinion? I mean, this is major stuff, and if they don't have an opinion about that, they must just not be plugged in at all whatsoever. Story. The poll also found that Americans are generally dissatisfied with how the GOP handled the Foley matter. 17% of those polled said it was handled appropriately, while 75% said Republicans took inappropriate steps, or none at all. 52% also said they believe the GOP leadership didn't investigate the charges earlier because they were deliberately covering the scandal up. 38% said they thought the leadership was unaware of how serious the allegations were. Yes, that's that same 38%, the 38% that thinks George Bush is doing a great job. That's that same 38%. Other findings in the poll, President Bush's approval rating, is 39%. The survey question had a sampling error of plus or minus 3 percentage points. So, you know, the American people are waking up one more time, and they're looking at this situation, and they're saying to themselves, you know, enough is enough. We need to get rid of these people. I read yesterday at pollingreport.com that the Democrats have had a very sizable edge over the Republicans. The edge is, at this point, 21 points. CNN poll today says generic ballot U.S. House of Representatives, folks who would 37% would vote for Republican, 58% would vote for Democrat. That's a 21-point spread, folks. Newsweek poll out yesterday, or today, let's see, last week, I'm sorry, 13-point spread. Time poll, 15-point spread. AP Ipsos poll, 10-point spread. We're talking double digits here. Now, the only poll that had a low spread was, of course, the Fox poll, a 3-point spread with 21% undecided. Might I add, that was from September the 12th, 13th, which would have been before this huge scandal broke, and the majority of the double-digit poll leads are after the scandal. So there you go. Now, getting back to some of the other news that's going on, here's an interesting, speaking of Fox, Fox News has followed the recent blunder of misidentifying Republican Mark Foley as a Democrat. They got caught, they had a picture of him on the screen, and underneath it said Mark Foley D-FL, which would have indicated that he was a Democrat rather than a Republican. They followed the recent blunder of misidentifying Republican Mark Foley as a Democrat by doing the same of Rhode Island Senate hopeful Sheldon Whitehouse. The error was made on Saturday's episode of Beltway Boys and was repeated throughout the weekend. Whitehouse faces moderate Republican incumbent Lincoln Chafee in November's general election, who Fox also misidentified as a Democrat. Somebody at Fox needs to, well, I think they're doing that stuff on purpose myself, but that's what they do, isn't it? At any rate, getting back to some of these other stories here. If you want to get in on the show today, you can do that. The telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. You can talk to me, or you can just call in and state your opinion, whatever it is. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you want to email me, you can send it to bruce@brucebirch.com. That's B-U-R-C-H, brucebirch.com. That gets right into my email box, and I will check it generally during the breaks. And if it's something important, I'll read it on the air. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get back into some of these stories or your phone calls, whichever you prefer. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network, simulcast on radiopower.org. I'll be right back.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
We look to the day when you can live in freedom, and America and Iran can be good friends and close partners in the cause of peace.
See, this is where we get a really bad reputation. I live in a country where I'm not even sure if my vote's going to count in November. How free are you? How free are the people on the Gulf Coast? How free are the families that still grieve for the bodies dragged out of Aracoma and Sago? How free are they? He throws around precious terms with precious little regard for them. How free are we that chose by a wide margin in the year 2000, November 2000, we chose a man named Al Gore to be the President of the United States. How free are we that we were saddled with this ignorant, ignorant, hateful little man? How free are we? How free?
I'm Bob Kincaid. Join me weeknights, 7 to 10 Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America.
Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 18 minutes past the hour. Joining us on line one is Steady from, I believe, from Ojai, California. Steady, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hi, Bruce. Hi, everyone at the horn. Zach, thanks for taking the call. And we missed you last Thursday, but great to hear you today.
Yeah, I my plan was to, well, let's just leave it that I had some things I had to attend to. But how did your march go?
We had a good showing. We always hope we have more people show up than do, but we probably had 30 people at the peak time there, probably between 3 and 4, something like that. We had a couple of things go down there. We brought flags and signs, and a couple of groups showed up. Various groups were represented, but a most interesting one was another write-in candidate in this district.
Really?
His name's Henry Nicole, and I didn't get to meet him. We showed up there about a half hour after it started, but he had left some of his flyers, and I got my hands on one, and he had a wooden nickel on the top. I did get in contact with him, and I'm actually going to meet the other write-in candidate tonight at a Veterans for Peace event where Lieutenant Watata's father is speaking here in Ventura.
Is he also a Democrat, Steady?
He doesn't say on there, and I didn't ask him. Actually, he is a California state citizen and not a federal citizen. So I know he's not into partisan politics. So he's not a registered voter.
Really?
He's renounced his federal citizenship as defined by, various different sources and legal sources. But very interesting cat, had top security clearances, a former Marine Corps officer. And I am really looking forward to meeting to him because, as he said, just by being a candidate, my soapbox is five times bigger than anyone else's. And I said, I kind of had the same idea here because I'm tired of the party line, and that's all we get, whether it's from the Republican Party or the Democratic Party and the candidates that we have to pick from. But that was something that was really interesting. The march itself, the protest went from noon to 8 o'clock, and we had an hour of candlelight and coffee, and everyone had a pretty good time. I personally brought the Culpeper Minuteman flag, which goes back to pre-colonial times, and it has a "Don't Tread on Me," and it has a Patrick Henry saying, "Give me liberty or give me death." And there were some lovely ladies out there who associated, the Minuteman thing with the citizens patrolling the borders down in Mexico, stopping illegal immigration. And long story short, they objected to that, and out of respect, I rolled the thing up. So I did my history again, and I don't think I would roll that flag up again if I ever broke it out. I'd consider that before I broke it out, but I don't think I'd roll the colors up. So we started singing some words to the battle hymn of the Republic that Mark Twain wrote as a parody called the Battle Hymn of the Imperialists. And there are some really lines to draw from and tangents that he had insight to that we're kind of going through right now. Now, the same group that, bless their hearts, who protested the flag also protested the song. And we were like kind of going, The tone of the World Can't Wait rally is, I would say, different than that has come to Ventura before. I think this is a drive out the Bush regime at all costs and in all means possible, whereas I think the peace people and the Greens specifically are a little bit more nonviolent communication, intelligent resistive force, but in this case they didn't know their history. And I think we're on the leading edge of revolutionary stuff here. So I might be saying a lot there, but are you familiar with that Culpeper Minuteman flag?
Isn't that the "Don't Tread on Me"?
It's the white one with the coiled snake, and it has a Patrick Henry saying on it also, "Give me liberty or give me death."
Okay, yeah. Culpeper, Virginia, I would assume.
Yes, yeah. It was a huge land grant from one of the kings over there in England, 52 million acres or something. I forgot. It was gigantic. But Washington was one of the first ones to come there and take a deep breath and look at it and go, national boundaries, you know. But the Culpeper Minutemen were there before 1776. I think the land grant was way back then. A little bit of history here that came from, you know, Cesara Taylor and Will Can't Wait that made us break out the flag, and the flag got protests. So I'd go back and look at the history on it. And so I get this, you know, all kinds of things come out of showing up at these events. But also, just to, if I may, another big thing, you know, I want to stay away from the congressional pages thing, just because it's so disgusting. And I actually didn't even know what a congressional page was before this weekend. Honestly, I didn't know. And,
well, I knew what they were, but I had no idea that this kind of stuff was actually.
Oh gosh, I'm ashamed. It's another level than when we saw the images from Abu Ghraib. I just like, oh my God, then and now. These are our children now. Anyways, are our young men and women who are coming up. But I wanted to talk about a local report here regarding my district in Simi Valley, where the incumbent Congressman Elton Gallagly is from. There's a Rocketdyne research laboratory out there, engine test facility in the, you know, post-war era, World War II, they were doing extensive nuclear testing and had reactors out there. Now, I can't go into all the reports, all the details of the report, but it just came out the middle of last week. I got my hands on it over the weekend and read it, and it's startling. You know, all the talk of this stuff is out there, sodium burn pits, and they were allowed to build a 1,000-kilowatt reactor, 100-kilowatt reactor out there at Tops. And then with that size of a reactor out there, the perimeter fencing had to be a 1/3 mile radius. And then housing couldn't encroach on that 1/3 mile radius by 3 miles. Well, the bottom line is they built a reactor 20 times the size and brought the housing right up to the gate.
Right.
Yeah, and so this report that came out was simply asking for the meteorological data from the weather station on site itself, and they're saying, nah, it's a trade secret. And the report says, well, surely the which way the wind was blowing 50 years ago isn't a trade secret. And Rocketdyne thinks that is. Atomics International thinks that is. So it further, you know, kind of raises an eyebrows to what exactly was going on there. And to close out my call and that statement in regards to my campaign, Elton Gallagly was quoted in the paper about the report, saying, I'm not really going to comment on it until I've thoroughly looked at it, but in my history here, these types of reports raise more questions than they actually answer. You know, so he's been the incumbent in this district within jurisdiction of that, and that gets all the federal money for the research, and who knows what kind of weapons development and crazy stuff they were doing out there. I know there were reports of guys blowing up the toxic waste bins with shotguns, you know, like, boom! Hey, look at that, Hoss! That thing made a big bang and fire and stuff and spraying all this in the air, and they're having a hoo-yah with it. The report doesn't go into that. That's just Steady's little take on it and local knowledge.
Right. Well, you know, you never know what some of these larger corporations are up to, especially ones that are government contractors. You know, I remember a story. I went to a college in a place called Swannanoa, North Carolina, which is up in the mountains. And there was a plant there that made chemical warfare stuff right beside the college.
Uh-huh.
They did. It was just terrible. They had it ended up being a Superfund site, toxic, you know, toxic waste everywhere.
Yeah.
You never know what to do.
This one, too. You know, I'll go move right out onto that and close up my call here, that the local newspaper, Tribune Publishing, last year, 2005, had like almost a $600 million profit. But they're shaking things up all over the country, and here in Los Angeles, it finally hit home. Jeffrey Johnson, the publisher of Los Angeles Times, was ousted last week, and I remember MoveOn.org was confronting Mr. Fitzsimons at a New York shareholder meeting, saying, "Hey, we got 45,000 signatures here. Do you want to address some of the concerns in your readership and you have a $600 million profit, and why is it you're making so many cuts? It hit L.A. now, our publisher out of that loss. I'm not praising L.A. Times, but these guys are cutting salaries, cutting people who might, not be in lockstep with anything that they want to put out. The trend
changes. Isn't that how it happens, though? Isn't that how it happens? The bottom line is that, if you have a dissenting opinion these days, you're labeled a miscreant and shoved off to the woodpile somewhere.
Yeah, just bird dogging that one here in Los Angeles around everything that just came out, not only in this call, but over the weekend, the protests, the other candidate that's now getting out there, and we're actually hosting an event, the Santa Susana stuff, ties right into Watada and the depleted uranium in the munitions that they're using. His father speaking here in Ventura tonight, but I did kind of overextended. I had a 5-point thing here I wanted to cover because we missed you on Thursday or Friday. I wanted to tell you about the event.
I'm glad you did, my friend. I'm sorry I missed you Friday. I was indisposed, but I'm back today.
Thanks. Great to hear you. And Pat says hi. Say hi.
Tell her I said hello as well.
Love to everybody out there.
Thanks a lot, Steady.
Okay, bye-bye.
Have a great time. And that was our good friend Steady from Ojai, California. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll get into more of your phone calls. 1-877-443-2366 is the number. This is the Bruce Birch radio program on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Last Wednesday night at Columbia University in New York, a shameful thing happened. Progressive students would not let a speaker speak. Now, I don't care how reactionary someone might be, that person has a right to speak, especially on a college campus, which is predicated upon the free exchange of ideas. The speaker in this instance was Jim Gilchrist, head of the Minuteman Project, who was invited on campus by the college Republicans. I detest what Gilchrist stands for. He's virulently anti-immigrant, and he's a vigilante to boot. But even Jim Gilchrist has the right to be heard. You can boo him, you can heckle him, you can certainly hold signs denouncing him, but don't gag him. At Columbia, unfortunately, that's what the students did. They stormed the stage while he was talking, unfurled a banner, and made it impossible, at least according to some reports, for Gilchrist to finish his talk. He was escorted off the stage, whereupon more protesters took the stage and proclaimed victory. But it's not a victory to be proud of. It's never a victory to shut anybody down. It's a defeat for free speech, worthy not of progressives, but of goons. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right, it's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to waterusitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's 34 minutes past the hour here and on the show, and we just had a little bit of a conversation with our good friend Steady from Ojai, California, who gave us a rundown of the event last Thursday, October 5th, the World Can't Wait rally that he attended, and actually I think he helped to organize it as well. If you want to call in, you know, I'm sure you had the opportunity Friday to call in and give your reports on that event. If you want to call into the show and do that, you can also do that as well. About the World Can't Wait here. Telephone number is 1-877-443-2366. I'm reading an interesting thing here, and I, you know, I'm going to go ahead and cover this because you know, everybody's probably doing this, but I'm going to do it too. Apparently, Representative Jim Colby of Arizona, Republican, confirmed yesterday that a former page showed the congressman internet messages that had made the youth feel uncomfortable with the direction that Mark Foley was taking their email relationship. This was in 2000. This was 6 years ago. Last week, when the Foley matter erupted, a Colby staff member suggested to the former page that he take the matter to the clerk of the House. Well, okay, why didn't you suggest that 6 years ago? The revelation pushes back by at least 5 years the date when a member of Congress has acknowledged learning of Foley's questionable behavior. So basically, they covered for him. They did everything they could to try to keep him in office. Representative Tom Reynolds this year talked him into seeking a seventh term in Congress. Although Tom Reynolds says Foley was merely deciding whether to run again, the talk in Republican circles on Capitol Hill was that he was ready to leave Congress. His inappropriate emails to a former page were known to the Republican leadership late last year. The 16th Congressional District was considered so safely Republican that any GOP candidate could carry it, but now likely will be lost with Foley still on the ballot. They talked him into running again. He was ready to go. He had two job offers in the private sector, Foley did, and decided to run again because they said, please run again. They wanted this guy in Congress. That's the GOP. It's a crime syndicate. So there's, you know, well, there's a number of different, you know, issues here afoot with this situation. There's the Hastert angle. There's the Foley angle. Now there's the Colby angle. There's all these different angles to this entire story. Apparently, again, you know, here we go. Another page says that he has had a consensual relationship with Foley. Okay, so let's move away from that because that's where that is. We're gonna leave that one be. Let's go ahead over to the telephone lines. Our good friend Jim is joining us on line one. Jim, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm not Jim. I am George Bush.
Well, you're George Bush?
Greeting for you.
Oh, okay.
I am the most lurid and frightened apparition of all. I am George Bush conscience.
Well, now that's interesting. I didn't know George Bush had a conscience.
Hell, I don't think he does either. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, Jim. You're feeling pretty good today, huh?
I don't know. I'll let you know tomorrow.
Okay.
How are you doing, Bruce?
I'm doing okay. What's on your mind today?
Oh, I don't know. I just want to give you a Halloween greeting early.
Well, that was definitely a Halloween greeting. I, you know, George Bush having a conscience by itself is a scary thought.
Well, I mean, like I say, the most lurid and frightening apparition of all. I can't think of anything more lurid and frightening than that, can you?
Well, I can, actually, and that would be the fact that, well, the fact that he doesn't have one is actually kind of scarier.
That's what I mean. It's an apparition. It isn't real.
Not real.
Mm-hmm.
It floats around on the air and says boo every now and then it goes away.
Does all kinds of, makes all kinds of noises, you know.
What's been going on in the news today, Jim? You been paying attention?
Oh, I just took a look at Time Magazine, and I direct your attention to the Republican strategy, all their money, and all of their last-minute efforts, particularly the last 72 hours of the campaign. And they are, you know, very willing, able, and prepared. Karl Rove has not been idle, I can tell you that.
You think they're going to try to pull
Time, yeah, this article in Time Magazine is extremely disconcerting. It's in this week's Time.
Okay. Well, tell me about the article. Besides,
it refers to the amount of money, resources, and the lockstep organizations they have in place already, and how they're using this thing with the Florida representative to take people away from the more important issues like Iraq and the deficit. You know, they're using this Florida congressman's thing really to their advantage because it's diverting the people's attention away from the real big stuff to this petty stuff. And then they're sliding the rest of that off on Bill Clinton and other discretions that have been committed by Democrats. Saying that he is without sin cast the first stone. You know, that's basically that. They put some real good spin on this stuff.
Yeah, but is it going to fly? I mean, you know,
yeah,
all the polling is saying that the Democrats have a 20. Well, the last one I saw was a 23-point edge.
I hope so. Bruce, I've looked at those polls so often, and I've had my hopes up so often to have them dashed cruelly. I've just, like I say, I'm very guarded. And, you know, like I told you, I think it was a couple weeks before, I hope for the best and expect the worst. But I'll guarantee you one thing, they're going to pull out every stop they can, spend every dollar they can, which is three times as much as the Democratic Party has available. And they will, you know, I'll guarantee you they will gather their faithful, and it's going to be close.
Well, the faithful they have is what, 38%?
I can't believe those numbers. I just don't believe it. You know, the only poll that I really ever trust is the Zogby poll. I haven't seen that one yet. Now, Zogby has a good track record. The rest of them, here today, gone tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't see a Zogby up here for this yet. He'll probably do his, John Zogby will probably do his closer to the election.
Now, you can basically make some bets on John Zogby, but no, these rest of these polls, I mean, I don't know where they get them and where they get the information. I don't know. But, I mean, read this article in this week's Time magazine or last week's Time, okay? Because we're in a new week, and it has to do with their strategy and Karl Rove and, you know, all the little elves of Innit Work or the little gremlins or whatever you want to call them. And believe you me, they're going to make this a Halloween surprise if they can. And it's going to be, if they have their way, it will be lurid and frightening.
Well, let's hope not, Jim.
Well, let's hope
not.
That I can, you know, hope that you can say Jim was wrong. And he was just way off base, and I'll be the happiest man in Christendom, okay?
Well, and my only hope is that they don't try to pull out some sort of, you know, attack on Iran or perhaps North Korea at this point.
They've been given grist for their mill. I mean, Kim Jong-il just exploded a, what, 4.5-kiloton nuclear device underground?
That he did.
Well, you see, this is what's happening here. It's beginning to unroll here. Now, they're going to use events like this, and then they're going to precipitate something that's going to happen in either Iraq or Iran. Now, you saw the thing about the policeman in Iraq.
Yes.
And I'll tell you something I saw that was pretty interesting on PBS, that they're starting to do visual shots of freelance photographers under the aegis of Air America.
Really?
And I don't know if you've seen any of these programs. There have been two 30-minute programs, and they show the stuff that you don't see that the embedded reporters send back to the States. And
wow.
Let me tell you something. It is not pretty.
Of course not.
I mean, there is one shot of a 13-year-old girl, Iraqi girl, naked in a bathroom where she was trying to take a shower when the first parts of the shock and awe hit. This is not, you know, this is basically from the standpoint of those shocked and those who've been in awe. And it shows her lying there naked on the floor. And her mother told the girl, I want you to take this picture. And then it shows things that are just incredible. I mean, you're talking about people swimming in pools of blood and this, that, and the other, and it shows the real size of war, not the sanitized version, but the real part of what this war has been. And the broken bodies, the torn flesh, and the real aspects of what war is all about, and the shock and the awe. It's more than just, you know, little televised screens of smart bombs hitting these buildings and stuff. It's showing things that are happening in the suburbs of these Iraqi towns. And it discusses, in photographic essays, the birth of the insurgency and how it really started, really, as soon as we went into Baghdad. I mean, this insurgency is just not something that started a couple of months ago or whatever, or just a year ago. It's been in place a long, long time.
And they're very well organized. I mean, you know, insurgency, you know, one man's insurgent is another man's freedom fighter, Jim.
Well, of course. I've always said that. One man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Same thing, you know. But basically, these freelance reporters, if they're not assigned to or work for a regular company like Time or whatever, and they are not embedded, they basically go about in mufti or in Iraqi civilian dress at considerable risk in their own lives, and they take photographs that they take that no one would really care to see who's supporting the war. And when I saw them last night, and I've seen some pretty nasty stuff in my own life, Bruce, and I'll tell you one thing, I almost got sick.
War is hell, Jim, war is hell.
Well, you're not telling me, but I mean, when you see the damage that this thing does to innocent people just because they happen to think somebody somewhere, and so they're just going to use a shotgun approach and just completely blast out a suburb of a city, and people wonder why we're so unpopular there and why this war has become such a sinkhole. I mean, you know, I sound like Cassandra, and I hope that I am Cassandra, that no one will pay attention to my prophecies. Well, you know, she was the one that had the gift of prophecy, but, of course, no one would ever believe her. So let me take that back. I just hope I'm just dead wrong about all this stuff as far as the election is concerned. But I did want to throw in this bit about the Time article and also the Air America photos on PBS.
Well, I appreciate it, Jim. And, I'll try to look for that. Maybe they'll rerun that.
Okay, I think you might find it. I put it on the TiVo, and I, you know, watched it. I believe it was on Saturday night. I'm not sure when it came on. But anyway.
Was that on Frontline? Or?
It was just Air America. The way it came up on the teleguide on the TV, it's just Air America. And it's on PBS.
It's a TV show called Air America?
Uh-huh. It's a show called Air America, right. And none of the, and all of the sponsors were private foundations. So I'm sure the Bush administration or the people who are the minders of the public eye will try to do they can to put a patch over that one real quickly if they can. There are two shows out already. One was last week, one was this weekend.
Well, you know, George Bush won't even allow photographs of flag-draped coffins coming off the planes.
Well, this shows more than that. This shows what goes in those coffins. And this shows the people who are left behind who don't even have coffins. Non-combatants and civilians and things of that nature.
And that is the real issue, Jim. I mean, to me, the real issue is you know, that war, that occupation that we're doing right now in Iraq. And you know, they're ramping up the forces, too, by the way.
You mean the insurgency?
No.
We're
ramping up forces in Iraq.
Well, I mean, who are they going to be taking next? It's going to be like the last days of the Third Reich at boys 16 to 60?
Well, I certainly hope not.
I mean, you know, it seems as though they're basically scraping the bottom of the barrel if they will take somebody who's in their 50s, particularly if they've had prior military training and are members of the IRR or the individual ready reserve. I mean, that's kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel. Yet they say recruiting is, there's no problem with it. It's at 120%. I don't know who or what to believe. But anyway, that's USAREC business with the Army and the other recruiting services for their respective components. But I don't know how they're going to get that many more people. And, you know, when you talk about North Korea, now, those people are desperate and they're hungry.
Yes, they are. And that, the only way they can get food is to join the military.
Exactly. And he has almost a million, he has over a million men under arms. And you just think of how quickly he could slip into South Korea. And what could we do?
Well, and, you know, there's a world full of conundrums right now.
There are.
And Kim Jong-il just added to the list of all of that stuff. And he's not, I don't think he's wrapped too tight.
Well, you know, he's had that bomb for a long time, and you expect him not to use it, you know? And Don Imus this morning was saying he thought it was cool.
Guess he was feeling kind of left out over there, huh?
I don't know, but I'll tell you something. If he, in fact, decides to move in, if you take a look at a satellite picture of Korea, and the north is totally black, and the south is just ablaze with light. And don't you think he doesn't cast envious eyes on the South Koreans? And so, I mean, that's definitely a very flammable part of the flashpoint or whatever you want to call it. But I've been rambling on here too long and taking too much of your time, and I apologize for doing that.
You're fine. I do have another caller waiting on the line. So.
I apologize.
But thank you, Jim, for calling in today.
Happy Halloween.
Thank you, sir. Talk to you soon. That was our good friend Jim from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Northern Hemisphere. Let's go straight over to Dave from Humboldt County, California. Dave, how are you doing today?
Real great, Bruce. And I was wanting to follow up a little bit on what was just discussed between you and undisclosed Jim there. Because
okay.
The election that we're looking forward to, as I see it, they're going to attempt one more time. And this will be the third, maybe the fifth, fourth, whatever time that they have actually fraudulently rigged the election, you know, deceived the machines. They play little games with us. So if the polls get down to where the Republicans are actually under 30 or thereabouts, and the exit polls show them at the same place, but voting machines show them just barely winning a little over 50%, I think that every good candidate running has to know not to concede. That's been a main thing in my head. That I think we should have it every precinct, another means of voting, or at least an exit poll being taken, but that politicians don't just shake hands and say the better man won and good luck, as we have seen happen a few times.
Well, you know, I think that when all this first started happening in 2000, there was a... It sort of took everyone by surprise. But now I think people are getting a little bit more wary, and a number of states have approved voter referendums that, you know, are verified or verified voting acts or voter confidence bills that, you know, that guarantee that the software, number one, you know, is good software, and it's the way it should be, et cetera. And there's also a paper backup. So, I mean, you know, that has happened as a result of all that. The one thing that I would, you know, I would totally agree with you. If I were running for office, and thank God I'm not, but if I were running for office, the first thing that I would say is, if it was that tight, I would say, well, we need a recount. It's time to go back and count everything back up again. And I'm not talking about a computer tally. I'm talking about a paper tally.
Well, I think the reality, as I'm hearing it, is that this Help America Vote Act said, put more crooked machines in every precinct everywhere. And that's exactly
it's like the Clear Skies Initiative.
Yes.
It polluted the skies. The Healthy Forest Initiative, you know, caused more trees to get cut down. The Help America Vote Act is the Help America Vote the Republicans In Act.
There you go. That's exactly what it is intended to be, and that's everything about them is one big, massive deception. So, anyway, I think that every good candidate has to know it. You know, I don't hear Congress talking about this. I don't know if you listen better than I, but with very few exceptions, there's a Russ Holt that talks about it. But almost every other congressman, he doesn't know the idea that of election fraud. He turns the other way and whistles a happy tune.
Well, you know, the thing about that, Dave, is that they, how can I put this? You know, the elections, the districts are drawn in a certain way to benefit incumbents, okay? So if it's a Democrat that's in the incumbent, more often than not, you know, the district is leans Democratic, and so therefore the chances of it switching hands are slim and none. Now, in this election, we're going to have an interesting situation because, or at least based on my own understanding of what's going on, is that people are fed up with the Republicans. They're fed up with the crimes, the corruption. They're fed up with the covering for guys who like to hit on kids, you know, and so we may see some of these Republican-leaning, Republican-drawn districts go Democratic just because of the sheer backlash of the voters. However, that's not, I mean, you know, they look at it like it's a science, and they try to create these districts so that these incumbents, you know, often get reelected. And look at the House of Representatives. Most people in the House of Representatives are, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10-term people.
Well, you know, but I think we're talking about two different things. There's been the gerrymandering ever since Elbridge Gerry, but that gives them a little advantage.
Right.
These machines can do damn near anything they want. On election eve last November, Bush's staff came into him and said, we've lost badly. The exit polls are already out. We've only carried two states. And he didn't get concerned. He said, wait till the actual vote comes in on the machine. And so it did. And so that can happen. That's the part of the fraud that I'm talking about. The arrogance of the Republicans is saying, we don't care how you people think and we don't care how you vote. We control all that. That's, I think, what we got.
Well, I'm with you there. I mean, you know, Robert Kennedy Jr. really spelled it out. I'm right up at the top of the hour there, my friend, and I do appreciate your call.
Thank you so much, Bert.
Have a wonderful afternoon. And that was our friend Dave from Humboldt County, California. You know, we do have a situation with the voting, and I got to tell you, you know, I don't know what the solution is aside from getting people who, you know, getting Congress people to pay attention and to, you know, but, you know, voting itself is a state-run thing. So if you're in a state, well, obviously you probably are in a state if you're listening to this show because it's based in the United States. But you can work with coalitions. You can create a voter coalition. You can create education campaigns. You can do a lot of things to get people, you know, to start taking a look at how voting is done in your counties and in your states. Here in North Carolina, a grassroots effort was able to push forward a voter verified ballot that is actually one of the best in the nation. So, you are listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 58 minutes past the hour here, and we'll be back right after the top of the hour news.
This is the Quality News Network. At the United Nations today, in response to North Korea's reported nuclear weapons test, the Security Council met. In just 30 minutes, the 15-nation council issued a unanimous resolution and condemned North Korea. Next, the members will discuss the appropriate measures to take. North Korea, on the other hand, says the UN should be offering congratulations for the success of its researchers and scientists. The United States may seek strict sanctions against North Korea, according to the U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., John Bolton. The U.S. may also ask for international inspections of all cargo entering and leaving North Korea, as well as a trade ban on military and luxury items. South of Baghdad Sunday, up to 400 Iraqi policemen were poisoned after eating a meal at a base. The severe food poisoning is under investigation and appears to be intentional, according to a military spokesman. Several workers at the mess hall, including its head, are under arrest. In Baghdad today, the brother of Iraq's vice president, a Sunni, was assassinated by gunmen. 13 other people were killed after a car bomb went off at a busy marketplace. 46 were wounded. In Sadr City today, 11 Iraqi soldiers were kidnapped at a checkpoint in what is described as a brazen attack. Also today in Baghdad, the genocide trial of Saddam Hussein resumed. A Kurdish witness testified his guards routinely buried detainees alive. In Washington, a bipartisan commission, which is assessing the Iraq strategy for the Bush administration, is expected to recommend a departure from the president's stay the course. In Afghanistan, NATO's top military commander is renewing his plea for more troops. This weekend marked the fifth anniversary of the U.S.-led war that toppled the Taliban from power. The Washington Post reports that another congressman, Arizona's Jim Colby, knew about former Congressman Mark Foley's inappropriate emails with congressional pages as far back as the year 2000 and confronted Foley about them back then. In Moscow, a $1 million reward is being offered to catch the killer of a Russian journalist. The newspaper reporter was a critic of Vladimir Putin and had exposed human rights abuses and corruption. Time magazine reports that Cuban President Fidel Castro is dying of cancer and unlikely to ever resume power. However, his brother Raul denies the report. And the United Nations Security Council unanimously nominated South Korea's foreign minister to be the next UN Secretary General. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
In addition to producing and distributing the finest hourly newscasts in the country, the Quality News Network conducts interviews with 2006 candidates. We afford congressional and gubernatorial challengers of every political stripe the opportunity to illuminate their views and to demonstrate their character in a 20-minute network quality interview. We perform this public service to enable voters to get a better listen to the people they might consider electing to high office. Because as Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. If you want to know more about who is running in the November elections, go to qualitynewsnetwork.com and click on 2006 candidates. If we are to get America back on track, we need to elect people who can lead us in the right direction. Now, back to the news.
France's prime minister has announced that smoking will be banned in all enclosed public places in France beginning in February, although cafes, nightclubs, and restaurants will be given an extra year to comply. An American has won the Nobel Prize for Economics. The Columbia University professor is the sixth American to be awarded the prize so far this year. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan commented on the recent downturn in the housing market. He said the, quote, worst may well be over. The chief executive of Airbus resigned today just 3 months after he took the job. Airbus has announced a two-year delay of its A380 Super Jumbo jet. Google, which was in talks Friday to buy YouTube, the popular video-sharing website, for $1.6 billion in stock, announced the purchase this afternoon. Meanwhile, YouTube has struck deals with CBS and two major music labels to avoid copyright infringement lawsuits. In the past 2 weeks, the average price for a gallon of unleaded gasoline nationwide fell 14 cents to an average of $2.28. Also, over the weekend, OPEC ministers agreed that cuts in oil production were necessary to stop the recent price declines. Light sweet crude settled at $60 even on the New York Mercantile Exchange. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was up 8 points at 11,857, the NASDAQ up 12, the S&P 500 up 1. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
time for another hour of Conversation Radio on the Head On Radio Network. Where the callers are the experts. You're back with the Bruce Birch Radio Program. With your host, Bruce Birch.
Welcome back to the Bruce Birch Radio Program. It's about 5 minutes past the hour. You heard the news, and so that's that. Now you're going to hear the other stuff. Obviously, in the last, in the second to last phone call we had here on the show at 1-877-443-2366, we talked a little bit about North Korea and the situation that's going on there. And you know, it's really difficult to, in my view, deal with that because we have a crackpot dictator who absolutely, you know, I mean, he's pushing all the wrong buttons, and he pushed the wrong one last night. You don't make, in my, here's my take on it. You know, George Bush is as crazy as they come. And for this guy to be pushing his buttons, I mean, it's almost like he's asking for some serious trouble. But now we know he has nuclear capability, so that means that we're going to have to treat him with kid gloves, etc. It is it's actually kind of depressing. When I saw the news come across the wire last night around 11 o'clock, my view was, oh God, here we go. If you want to talk about it, you know the number. Interesting little story here about another congressman, Duncan Hunter, down in San Diego. The seven-term Republican from Coronado got some tax breaks on his home. They're not quite sure why he got the tax break on the home. You know, it's a six-bedroom house. Let's see. 6,200 square feet. Tax rolls listed the property as a two-bedroom, two-and-a-half-bath house with 2,900 square feet of living space. Obviously, that's very wrong. The discrepancy resulted in Hunter paying less in taxes than others in similar-sized properties. So maybe, just more proof positive, folks, that these folks, these Republicans in the Congress are they're insane. They're absolutely insane. And, you know, and the thing is that they try to use their connections to get, you know, little perks, and then, you know, well, then it comes out. When all the stuff starts rolling out, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing all of the chicanery. We're seeing all of the negativity. We're seeing all of we're seeing the unraveling, if you will, of this Republican Party. And I can't help but think, you know, unless something really, really crazy happens, unless something really crazy happens, that the Democrats will win the House. Now, moving right along to some other things. Our good friend James Dobson, not really, is echoing, he's saying that the Foley scandal is a sort of a joke and a prank by Pages. James Dobson and let's just part of this to you because it's just crazy. Commenting on the congressional page scandal surrounding former Representative Mark Foley on the October 6th broadcast of Focus on the Family, James Dobson, founder and chairman of Focus on the Family, declared that the Foley affair has turned out to be what some people are now saying was a sort of a joke by the boy and some of the other pages, who had reportedly come forward with sexually explicit instant messages that Foley allegedly sent. Similarly, in his October 6th column, Wall Street Journal deputy editorial page editor Daniel Henninger wrote that a rumor emerged that, in fact, Mark Foley had been pranked by the House pages, and then added, "It is the first plausible thing I've heard in 7 days." It can't be plausible that this guy did any of this stuff. Of course not. And, you know, Matt Drudge and Michael Savage also attempted to shift the blame to the former pages who communicated with the former congressman. You know, blame the victim, right? That's what they do. That's what they do. Let's see. Going on to some other things at this point. Looking at a couple of other stories here, you know, there's the terror list. Now, if you're going to go fly anytime soon, you need to be aware that your name may be on a list. And it may be on that list mistakenly. Thousands of people have been mistakenly linked to names on terror watch lists when they crossed the border, boarded commercial airliners, or were stopped for traffic violations. More than 30,000 airline passengers have asked just one agency, the TSA, the Transportation Security Administration, to have their names cleared from the lists. 30,000 people. That's a lot of people. Misidentifications obviously can lead to delays, intensive questioning and searches, missed flights, or denied entry at the border. Whether appropriate relief is being afforded these individuals is still an open question. When questions arose about tens of thousands of names between December 2003 and January 2006, the names were sent back to the agencies that put them on the lists. This is according to the GAO, the Government Accounting Office. Half of those were found to be misidentified. I remember a story not long ago related to this that was about the guy who wrote the book Bush's Brain. Or the movie, I'm sorry, was put on the no-fly list. So, you know, is it rhyme? Is there any rhyme or reason to any of this? I don't know. All right, Japan is now saying that they're sending, they have sent, deployed three Air Self-Defense Force T-4 trainer jets to check levels of radioactivity over the Sea of Japan and other areas following North Korea's announcement about its nuclear test. The agency's move to collect samples at an altitude of 10 kilometers is part of the Japanese government's efforts to step up its monitoring of the impact of the reported nuclear test. So, you know, the folks in Asia are wound up tight, as well they should be. Now, I wanted to talk about this story a little bit. Let's see, do I have... Let's go to another one real quick. And, you know, we were talking about what happens, what's going on in Iraq right now. According to the latest Pentagon figures, 776 soldiers were wounded in action there last month. That figure represents the fourth largest casualty rate since the U.S. and U.K. invasion in the spring of 2003 and the largest since November 2004. When U.S. forces were involved in a major offensive to clear the city of Fallujah. Some experts believe the number of wounded provides a better insight to the nature of the conflict in Iraq rather than the figure of 2,700 killed, because in relation to previous wars, many more wounded troops survive. You know, there's been a considerable amount of IED attacks. There's been all kinds of stuff that's been going on. 776 soldiers in 1 month were wounded. It's time to bring them home, folks. It's past time to bring them home. You're listening to the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the show today, you know the number, 1-877-443-2366, or if you prefer to remember it a different way, it's 1-877, the number 4, Head On. You can also email me, bruce@brucebirch.com. I'll be right back. Gone international with Sly and Robbie on the track. Drums and bass. We get in line. Text four gets the last word. I don't understand the whole reason why you're telling us all that we need to unify. Rally round the flag and beat the drums of war. Sing the same old songs. We heard them all before. Telling me it's unpatriotic, but I call it when I see it. When I see it, it's idiotic. The tears of one mother are the same as any other. Drop food on your kids while you're murdering the fathers. But don't bother.
You show it on CNN, brothers and sisters. Don't believe them that it's all just evil. It's really just revenge engaged on the poorest by the same rich men. Fight terrorists wherever they be found. But why you not buying...
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
All right, you're back on the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 18 minutes past the hour. Joining us on line one is our good friend Sarge. Sarge, how you doing today?
Oh, pretty good. And you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, just dandy.
Listen, I wanted to alert people to a really, really nice piece that's up on my site today. I did not write it. You know TSM, the Smart Mom?
Yeah.
My son wrote it. And it
really
is excellent. I mean, Bruce, this thing is so good that if you got a computer, I want you to go to it and look at it and consider reading it on air. It is that good.
All right, well, I definitely will take a look.
Because it, man, I wish I could write like this guy did. He is just excellent. I am just so tickled that she sent it in to me because, man, the guy just really hits everything right on the head. He is just really... And he states it very plainly, and I was just super impressed. This week, what I'm doing is I'm letting my readers actually write the column this week. And so anybody that has anything they want to send in that they'd like to see up on the site, they just send it to me, and I'll look at it, and I'll pick what's best and run it for the week.
That's kind of cool, man.
And then, so then next week, Corinne is going to run my column. I'm going to take the week off completely. And I've already proved some of what she was going to run, and she is going to really be something. So I'm pretty excited about this week and next week.
Getting some new bloggers going, are you?
Well, there's a transition in progress. There's always a transition, you know. But, you know, one thing you were talking about, Bruce, and this is what really bothers me, is I don't think the people, and this includes liberals and even people that listen to Horn, I don't think they're really as aware of how far this Bush crime family will sink to get their way. And it's really bad. It really is. I had an email from one of my contacts, and they opened up with the statement, well, another one of us died today from a FEMA trailer. And it looks like what Katrina didn't take, Bush is, you know. So, and it's really scary. And I talked to one person out in Arizona who actually went through Katrina and got relocated to Arizona. And I just had really a hard time explaining to them, hey, here's what's actually going on here. And
they're finding it hard to believe.
Yeah, and it really it is. I mean, I live right it, next to it, you know. And mm-hmm. I'm sitting back saying, if I didn't know this was true, I would call myself a liar, you know. And that's just how unbelievable it is. And I just really wish that I knew the right way to get people to look and say, well, the situation is a lot worse, and it's a lot more scary than what I thought it was. And I can't seem to grasp that little bit of what it needs to get the message through. But thank God you guys give me time to actually state what's going on. I sure appreciate it, because it means so much to the people who are suffering. And I don't want people to forget about us.
Well, no, and I don't, you know, and I definitely don't want to myself. I mean, Sarge, what are some of the conditions they're still living in?
Well, the people are still in FEMA trailers, and they are restricted as to what they can even have in their yard, what little yard they have. The trailers are poorly constructed. There are better trailers available, but it's a political situation as to who gets what, you know. If you are a Barber or Bush supporter, you're going to get a better setup. If you're a Republican voter, but you don't really speak out for the Republicans, then you just get a piece of trash. And if you're a Democrat, well, you know, you figure that one out, right? So So if they suspect anyone is guilty of leaking, I mean, just suspect that anyone is guilty of leaking information to the press, then they gang up on them. I've seen people actually get their tires cut on their vehicles, their identities stolen. And even death threats. It's unbelievable. We're in this red state here, and because it's a red state, certainly they can cover more, you know, because the people are already on their side. Are apathetic. And so it's really, you know, it's really one of those situations where I just don't see it getting better. In fact, I see it getting worse. This person that died in this trailer court Saturday, I think it was, they actually had not been sick of anything before Katrina. And since they have been living in that FEMA trailer, they started getting sick. And so while I can't verify it, it sure appears to be related to that trailer.
Do you know what the cause of death was?
I haven't heard yet. I'm trying to find it out, but my contact that told me about it, I'm having to cover for them so much that I'm very, very careful about talking with them. And so I have to talk with them on a more secure source because there's no telling what's going on. I know they are under investigation. And so I've just got to really protect them, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
now these FEMA trailers, are they like on people's properties, or are they actually like in a big field? They have a whole bunch of them, or how does that work?
They have a whole bunch of them. They're in like lots. You've heard Greg Palast talk about Baker, Louisiana, that trailer FEMA trailer camp there.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what it's like.
How many are in there?
I don't know. I'd have to check on that. But there's plenty of them, and some of them are actually located in flood zones. So if and some of the people there are disabled, and there's not the trailers have not been put in where the handicapped access is present for them. So if they're handicapped, then they have a problem getting in their trailer, and there's nobody doing a thing about it. The toxic level of the formaldehyde is just outrageous. There are molds, there's mildew, there's stuff still piled up from Katrina that hasn't been removed, you know, debris. And the people are extremely depressed. There's a lot of suicide. Alcoholism, drug use is up. Crime rate has tripled. People who hated guns are now buying guns just for self-protection because the crime is so overwhelming the law enforcement just can't keep up with it. And yet at the same time, people in America are just blowing it off. And it's just desperate. It really is. It's a desperate situation. And I'm frustrated because I can't get it out. People are not responding like I hope they will. And it's just really hard. It really is, and I'm about to the point. What do I need to do next?
Well, you told me at one point about a children's charity.
Yes.
Didn't you tell me something about that? Is that up and going yet?
Yes, it is. And if people will go to my column, they will see a emblem that has a state of Mississippi, and I think it's a little hammer or something like on that. If you click on that, it will take you to a link that will get you connected to where you can donate, and there's a website for the Jackson County Children's Coalition, and they certainly need the funds because there is a lot of mental health problems, and the government is not doing a thing to address those problems. So if anyone can donate, please, for God's sake, go donate because you're probably saving some child's life.
Well, it's an absolute tragedy, Sarge, what's going on down there. Go ahead and give your website address so people can get to you.
Okay, it's just powersandmorrison.com and go to the old Sarge.
Powersandmorrison.com and go see the old Sarge, and right there you'll see the banner for that charity. You know, it amazes me how the situation in New Orleans and surrounding areas in Mississippi has been totally ignored. I mean, that you know, there was the blitz of news around the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina, and then poof, nothing.
Well, one thing that really hurt was when the mainstream, the corporate media, I'm not calling mainstream, the corporate media, started putting out these stories about fraud where the people were abusing the FEMA cards, and they didn't tell the full story on it, that there was only a small amount of abuse by the actual people, but FEMA was also a contributor to it because they did not give any guidelines on how to use the cards. So,
that whole situation reminded me of the whole Ronald Reagan era welfare mother demonization thing. You know, like if you, you know, get one of these cards, or if you, you know, well, back then it was, they picked out, you know, a handful of welfare mothers who were getting, you know, they had eight kids, and, you know, I mean, it was just crazy. But that was not the norm for the people who were on welfare.
Well, I've got a thing that someone sent me, and it's called a FEMA gold card. And on the bottom of, on the print in it, they just really make it sound like everybody here is living a life of Riley, and that we're just, you know, living off the government, just making it big off of FEMA, which is a bunch of crap, you know.
Yeah,
I'll post it.
Anytime that you receive federal assistance, there are those that try to demonize the fact that you're receiving it, and you know, in my view, if you go through a natural disaster like that, if FEMA is able to help you, you know, more power to you. I think that's fantastic.
One good thing, they have now got Choice Point doing the background check. So that's even more scary. I just, you know, the thought that this company who rigged the vote in Florida, who rigged the vote in Ohio, who no telling has been involved in what, now all of a sudden they're going to do background checks on hurricane victims. Disappeared.
I believe Choice Point also was involved in Mexico, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they were. I know Greg Palace's site would confirm confirm that. I'm pretty sure they were. Bruce, I don't know, man. But, you know, the people in America, we get to, especially liberals, and the great thing about liberals are we're open-minded. We think, you know, nobody tells us what to do. We make up our own minds, and that's great. But the one problem that I see is a lot of people are making up their mind without all the facts. And if they would get as many facts as they could before they make up their mind, it sure would help a lot of people.
Well, an informed decision is the way I always like to go, and I think that, I totally agree with you.
Well, look, Bruce, thank you so much for letting me get that out, and I hope you'll check that thing, that writing out, and I think you'll want to read it on the air. It's really outstanding.
I'll check it during the break, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great afternoon, Sarge. Good to talk to you. That was our friend Sarge from Southern Mississippi, who is living through and dealing with, still today, a year and a month and a half later, the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, more of your phone calls, or we'll get over into some weather news, or I'll read that piece. We'll see what happens. It's 32 minutes past the hour here on the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network. I'll be right back.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also listen to over at progressive.org. Howard Zinn was in town last night giving a lecture on the lessons of history in an age of hysteria. If we knew our history, Zinn said, we wouldn't be fooled by a president who peddles fear, since that's what happened in the Spanish-American War and throughout the Cold War and during Vietnam and during Reagan's wars on Central America. If we knew our history, Zinn said, we'd understand the fundamental fact that the interests of the government and the interests of the people are not one and the same. Soldiers, he said, are mistaken when they say they're going off to Iraq to fight for our country. They're actually going off to Iraq to fight for Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Halliburton, Zinn said. And if we knew our history, Zinn said, we'd understand that everything we do is important. Every picket line we walk, every protest we join. helps bring about change. I love Howard Zinn. Call me a Zinner, in part because I love his historical optimism. With his long view, he reminds us that change erupts at unpredictable moments, even during the gloomiest of times. And we're in one of those times now. But that's no reason to give up hope. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
You and the gang are out cruising North Carolina highways, but they're fixing up a little stretch ahead there, so you merge politely, and then some nut whizzed by half in the bag. Wouldn't you just want to see him whipped? But hey, work zones are dangerous. I mean, it could be shelled or crushed or spread all over the highway. Heck, they could be put behind bars or in a bag. Whew. Drive safely in work zones. Don't be a nut.
Stay alert, stay alive in North Carolina work zones.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Back to the Bruce Birch radio program. It's about 36 minutes past the hour. Got a story here that I wanted to cover here real quick before we get into some other things. Now, if you want to get in on the show today, you know the number, 1-877-443-2366. It appears that cutting and running is now becoming the soup du jour of the right wing as well. You know, the president has been running around talking about the Democrats being the cut-and-run party in Iraq. But what is happening right now is that there's an independent commission that has been set up by Congress with the approval of George Bush. And there's a possibility that they may recommend carving up Iraq into three highly autonomous regions, according to well-informed sources. Now, the reason why I'm mentioning this is because I mentioned this on one of my radio shows, that this was probably going to be the end result there, that the only way they're going to have the ability to quell the civil war that's happening there is to actually carve up the country and give, you know, each warring faction a section and say, this is where you belong. The Iraq Study Group, co-chaired by James Baker, former U.S. Secretary of State, is preparing to report after next month's congressional elections amid signs that sectarian violence, in other words, civil war, and attacks on coalition forces are spiraling out of control. The conflict is claiming the lives of 100 civilians a day, and bombings have reached record levels. The Baker Commission has grown increasingly interested in the idea of splitting the Shiite, Sunni, and Kurdish regions of Iraq as the only alternative to what Baker calls cutting and running or staying the course. He says, quote, the Kurds already effectively have their own area. The federalization of Iraq is going to take place one way or the other. The challenge for the Iraqis is how to work that through. Now, this commission is considered to represent a last chance for fresh thinking on Iraq, where obviously mass kidnappings are increasing and even the police are suspected of being responsible for a growing number of atrocities. So, you know, I mentioned this a while back, and you know, it looks like that's where they're going. Now, apparently, the group will not advise partitioning, but it is believed to favor a division of the country that will devolve power and security to the region, leaving a skeletal national government in Baghdad in charge of foreign affairs, border protection, and the distribution of oil revenue. The Iraq government will be encouraged to hold a constitutional conference, paving the way for greater devolution. Iran and Syria will be urged to back a regional settlement that could be brokered at an international conference. So, you know, this is where they're heading, folks. And, you know, I don't want to say you heard it here first, but I mentioned it at one point. I don't know if this is good news or bad news. It's news. Senator John Kerry was in Iowa over the weekend, and he'll visit 13 additional states in the weeks before the November 7th election with a frenetic pace of barnstorming and fundraising on behalf of Democratic candidates. Kerry's moves over the last several months have convinced his inner circle that he intends to launch another run for president. Kerry himself has insisted that he has not decided whether or not to run, but more than a dozen longtime loyalists have said that they had no doubt that Kerry would attempt what a host of Washington doubters think unimaginable, become the first Democrat in a half a century to lose a general election and be renominated 4 years later. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but there it is. Now, speaking of people who, we were talking about W there a little bit. Excuse me. Suddenly, like the fierce blue northers that sweep across Texas each autumn, the political winds have turned bleaker for Republicans, and President Bush's private mood has blackened accordingly. Apparently, just 2 weeks ago, as gasoline prices plummeted and his tough-talking terror counterattack began moving poll numbers his way, Bush turned bullish on the November elections. A longtime political confidant of the president reported earlier this month, he's on scent and he's driving hard. He's got the microphone and thinks he's controlling the political debate. First Lady Laura Bush, who is even more in demand than her husband on the political stump this cycle, also was telling aides she thought the tide had finally turned. Now, however, friends and aides and close political allies tell us that Bush is furious with his own side for helping create a political downdraft that has blunted his momentum and endangered GOP prospects for keeping control of Congress next month. Endangered? There's a 23-point lead on the Democratic side. That's not endangered. That's pretty much lost. Of course, you know, they do have the voting machines, and that's always a possibility. All right, let's see. One more, and we'll get on out of here for our next break. Rick Santorum. Yes, Rick Santorum. That's the one, the guy who's running for Senate again, who is not liked very well. He has he's spent 12 years in the Senate and millions of dollars on TV ads for a third term, yet a lot of Pennsylvania voters just plain don't like him. Polls show his approval rating is in the 30s, just about what it was a year ago. Roughly the same number of voters view him unfavorably as favorably. Questions over the use of Pennsylvania tax dollars to pay for the cyber schooling of his six children in Virginia continue to dog him. Anger lingers over comments he made in a book last year criticizing some working parents, as well as statements he made in opposition to same-sex marriage and in support of keeping Terry Schiavo alive. He's not liked, folks, and it's not boding well for his election. Bob Casey, who is his Democratic opponent, is leading him. And so we may be able to say goodbye to him in about a month. Time will tell. Let's go ahead and take our break. When we come back, we'll finish out the show. This is the Bruce Birch Radio Program on the Head On Radio Network simulcast on radiopower.org. I'll be right back.
universities never set out simply to reflect the communities in which they exist. Rather, they serve as seedbeds of change in an ever-changing world. They take pride in being places where truth is freely sought, where inquiry is encouraged, where new ideas and new ways can develop and flourish at the expense of the old. When a true academic community, instructors and students together, acts and expresses itself freely, without fear, all of society benefits. Concord University is already using this new set of challenges as opportunities to serve in ways that strengthen its dedication to community, its commitment to service. In graduate education, in professional services to working professionals, in highly respected fields of study where standards remain high, in continuing to place graduates in the very best professional and graduate schools in the nation, Concord University remains the very best higher education bargain in this region. Don't ever allow yourself to accept anything less. Concord University, still since 1872, an education you can put to work. For an appointment, call 1-800-344-6679.
What's Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is Head On with Bob Kincaid.
The only hope that George Bush had after he raped the Treasury, after he ripped us off, the only hope he had for balancing out the amount of the bad paper that he had to go and hang in China was to take control of the means by which China would receive oil. Iraq is one of the faucets. The other faucet is Iran. If he can control those two things, he can continue to hang bad paper on China, and on the other end, act as the dealer outside the schoolyard to China's little junkie. Does this make sense?
It makes perfect sense, but I haven't heard it said in that concise a manner. Nobody has made the loop so small that everybody can realize.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, only at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com and RadioPower.org.
At this moment, more than 800 million people are hungry. Millions more live in poverty. And you wonder, what can I do? Join the thousands of caring people who let Heifer International be their helping hands in the world. Right now, from Appalachia to Zimbabwe, Heifer is helping thousands of families become more self-reliant through the gifts of livestock and learning. Heifer provides farm animals that produce milk, eggs, and other products. That means milk to drink and products like cheese to sell. Having income means families can have better housing and health care, and their children can go to school. And recipients share their success, passing on the gift of their animal offspring to other families in need, ensuring dignity, self-reliance, and hope for the future. Find out how you can make a difference today at heifer.org. That's HEIFER.org.
Back on the Bruce Burch radio program in the last segment of the show today. It's 48 minutes past the hour. Joining me on the line is our good friend Gunny Bob. Bob, how are you doing?
How are you doing?
Good to talk to you. It's been a while.
Hello.
Yeah, it's been a while. How you been?
You're breaking up.
Well, I don't intend to be.
No, I just keep getting these pops in here. I thought, what's going on? Are we being monitored?
It's quite possible.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that. But, hey, it's been a bad day for the Republicans. Of course, then every day is a bad day for Republicans. It's a bad day to even think yourself conservative. In this day and age, I am very happy that people are starting to wake up.
Isn't it great?
It is. It's a good day to be a progressive. It's a good day to be a person thinking toward the future for some other reason than self-centeredness.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hearing it's a good day to be a Democrat. And a person.
Well, the Republicans are definitely coming apart at the seams, aren't they?
Well, when you start talking about congressmen being kitty diddlers and people that protect them, like, you know, we're talking the Speaker of the House protecting them, even the staunchest, right wing conservative neo Nazi nut gets a little irate about stuff like that, wouldn't you say, Bruce?
Well, I would agree with you, my friend. It amazes me that this cover up has gone all the way to the very top of the House of Representatives. And what has even amazed me more than that is that the very people that knew he was doing this stuff asked him to run for election again.
Now I wish that people would start doing a little research on G.W. Bush, okay, George W. Bush, and some of the stuff he did back in the early 80s, back mm-hmm. under the Ronnie Reagan administration, and when his daddy was, what was he then, head of the CIA. And there was a bunch of kitty diddling going on back then too. If people would just do their research and just take a real in-depth look at the Bush crime family, as our esteemed friend Mike Malloy used to say, the Bush crime family. And you're dealing with criminals, and you're dealing with pedophiles, you're dealing with people that set other people up, and they put people in power that shouldn't be there so they can control them. You can't control somebody that you haven't got something on, right? How many
right.
Democrats, let me ask you this question, Bruce, how many Democrats in the House, in the Senate, in the last 5 years have been caught trolling on the internet, looking for 16-year-old boys? How many Democrats?
Okay. That would be zero.
Right, that would be zero. How many Democrats have been caught in bed with dead little girls? That would be zero, too. And how many Democrats have come on the air like, what was that Horsley guy? The mule guy from down there in the South? Have come on the air and, you know, denigrating and just trying to destroy the true family values group in this country. And I'd say they're progressives, because progressives want their children to grow and to progress. And of course, the repressive Republicans, the neo-Nazis, they want to deprive and deprave their children and make their children as deprived and as depraved as they are. And that's what you're dealing with. You're absolutely dealing with a deprived and depraved bunch of individuals. They're repressive Republican, and they are neo-Nazi, fascist, whatever you want to call them, but they have no look to the future except for their own pocketbook and their own good, and no good for anybody else, just for them. I got news for you guys. November's just around the corner, just a few weeks away. If you don't vote Democrat, then, hey, I don't care, the Greens, or the others, vote Democrat this time. We can get rid of the weak ones later. But right now, we need the Congress, we need the Senate, and then we can do something. But don't blame it on the Democrats. They have no power. We don't have any power.
The Republicans have been in charge of all the houses of government for going on, what, 5 years now, 6 years?
And, you know, the reality is they have done more harm to this nation in that period of time than the Democrats did in the 40 years previous.
Absolutely. That is a fact. If anyone cares for their children's future, then they'll vote progressive. They will vote Democrat. They will vote these. Can I say the word bastard? I guess I just said. Excuse me.
Yep.
Vote these bastards out and start with a clean slate and then tell the Democrats, we want the job done. If you can't do it, then, hey, you're out next. But give them a charge and give them a clean victory. I don't care how they cheat. If the people of this country vote, I mean the people, all the people vote, their conscience, they'll vote for their grandchildren, they'll vote for their children, they will vote for the future. Because the only future we have and ever have had, Bruce, are our children. Our children are our future, and if you don't vote for their best interest, then you vote for your downfall. And you will throw this nation and this once shining city on the hill right into the pits of hell, which the Bushes and the Cheneys would like to see us in. So vote Democrat, folks, please, for your own sake and your children's sake and the sake of this world, this planet. Vote Democrat. If you don't, then just keep playing your game and think yourself better than your neighbor and better than the next man. Just keep thinking yourself as better than. And I am not better than you, Bruce. In fact, I am beholden to you. I am very beholden to you. You know why?
Why is that?
You let me speak my mind.
Well, that's what conversation radio is, my friend.
No, conversation radio is that we speak back and forth, but you usually let me just have my peace and say whatever I have on my mind at the time, and I thank you for that. It's kind of like I'm preaching to the choir, but I'm talking to people that love and care and are decent because they're progressive, and they are our friends, Bruce. Yours and
yes,
mine.
And Bob, I've got to wrap it because I'm right at the end of the show.
I used you up again, didn't I? Well,
yeah,
thank you, my friend.
Thank you for being there.
And,
thank you for being there too, Bob.
Hey, we will talk to you again, okay?
Okay, sounds good. That was our good friend Bob from the state of North Dakota who called in this afternoon to beseech all of us to vote Democrat. The show today was produced by Zach Rebich. John Fox is the chief engineer of the Head On Radio Network and also is the announcer of this radio show. Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services is our IT professional. Gene, and I think we have a new news blogger, and I've got to get the name right. But thank you, both of you folks who are working on blogging our shows. Also, I want to thank Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for managing the stream and the archives of this show and every other show on the Head On Radio Network. Shelby LaPrey at RadioPower.org, thank you very much for restreaming this show each and every day from 5 to 7 Eastern. Also want to thank the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Those guys are sponsoring the programming on this here little radio network, and they rock. Very simply, they rock. And last but not least, thank you, listeners, for joining me again today for a little jaunt down the progressive path. And remember, it's your democracy, too, and it's not a spectator sport. I will see you tomorrow.
And for the first time, their children were proud of their parents. Somewhere in Gaza, a little boy smiled and cried. After the revolution.
This is the Quality News Network. In response to North Korea's nuclear weapons test, the UN Security Council met today. The 15-nation council quickly issued a unanimous resolution to condemn North Korea. The members will now discuss the appropriate measures to take. The U.S. says it will seek sanctions against North Korea. The U.S. may also seek international inspections to check for weapons of cargo entering and leaving North Korea. America is also lobbying for a trade ban on military and luxury items. The U.N. Security Council has unanimously nominated South Korea's Foreign Minister Ban Ki-moon to be the next U.N. Secretary General. He must still be confirmed by the U.N. General Assembly. In Baghdad, the brother of Iraq's vice president was assassinated today. 13 other people were killed after a car bomb went off at a busy marketplace. 46 were wounded. In the Anbar province, 3 Marines were killed yesterday. That brings to 32 the number of U.S. forces killed in Iraq in the last 9 days. In Sadr City, 11 Iraqi soldiers were kidnapped at a checkpoint south of Baghdad yesterday. As many as 400 Iraqi policemen were poisoned after eating a meal at a base. The poisoning is under investigation and several mess hall cooks are under arrest. In Washington, a bipartisan commission assessing the Bush administration's Iraq operations is expected to recommend a departure from the president's stay-the-course strategy. Former Secretary of State James Baker co-chairs the group. Another recall from California's Salinas Valley, this time for lettuce greens packaged under the Foxy brand. The lettuce was available between October 3rd and 6th in 7 western states. The company says the lettuce may have been irrigated by water contaminated with E. coli. No illnesses have yet been reported. The Washington